Go ahead and open your Bibles to the Old Testament. We're going to look at 1 Samuel. Spend a little bit of time tonight in 1 Samuel chapter 17. We have our visitors with us tonight. We want to welcome you to every opportunity you had to come and worship with us tonight. And everything after that. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, we're going to look at some of the chapter here in looking at handling giants. And we're going to spend a little bit of time tonight in 1 Samuel chapter 17, and then kind of make some personal application from that. Because we've all faced, as we think about this in our life, we've all faced tall orders. Faced different trials. Given in to some, probably. Overcome some obstacles, overcome temptation in our life. And as we think about this, this can be giant tasks in our life. Some, you know, you think about some big task like David, what he faced here in 1 Samuel chapter 17. He faced a literal giant. And the giants we face in this life, we know that we as individuals can overcome. We just need, again, to rededicate our life and our service to God, put away the selfish ambitions, and become part with Jesus Christ. We want to be less of self, as we sing the song, and more of thee, more of Christ. And with this mindset, we can overcome giants in our life. And we want to consider looking at this and kind of looking at this narrative here in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And looking at verse 1 down to verse 9 starting off. 1 Samuel chapter 1, or chapter 17, beginning with verse 1. It says, "Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered at Socah, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Socah and Azekah in the Ephes Demon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in the battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head and was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of that coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and a shield-bearer went before him. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, 'Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourself and let him come down to me. And if he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us.'" Some people will look. I am 6'5". My wife, Justina, is only 5'3". So I should, we'll try to include a quarter inch depending on what day it is. But we stand next to each other, and there's a huge difference between us. I feel say, "Well, Daniel, you're a tall man." Yeah, I guess you could say I am a tall man. But when we talk about Goliath, we're talking about a man that's somewhere between 10'6", somewhere, you know, even going as high as up to 12 feet tall. And this is not an ordinary man. You know, the description of him here is he was a large man that was able to carry a large amount of weight, and noticing his armor that he had on, his weapon that he had, it'd be a pretty intimidating task, wouldn't you think? And he made this big challenge that anyone who wants to come out and fight me, if whoever wins that battle, the loser will be the servant of the other. How does Israel respond? Well, if you look at verse 10, the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together, And when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Israel was afraid of this man. If that's what, wouldn't we? Absolutely. Challenges laid forth. The winner again will be the battle, or be the servant of the other. And as we continue reading, we read about David, the shepherd boy. He's introduced by bringing food to Israel. And his brothers who were there, hearing what Goliath had said. As we look there in verse 12, it says, David was the son of that Ephraite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and who had 8 sons. And the man was old, advanced in years in the days of Saul. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul to the battle. The names of these 3 sons who went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn. Next to him was Abinadab. And the third was Shammah. David was the youngest. The 3 oldest followed Saul. But David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. And then Jesse said to his son David, take now for your brothers an ephah of this dried grain and these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp, and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000, and see how your brothers fare, and bring back news of them. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper, and took the things, and went as Jesse commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to fight and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. Again, we read about David, you know, just kind of getting introduced to him here, a son of Jesse. Again, we see the genealogy behind it all. You could look at some things as well in Matthew chapter 1, kind of leading up to the genealogy of Christ. Here's a man, a young man that was a shepherd, working in his father's place. His father was advanced in years. The older brothers were there fighting with Saul, and he was told, go do this. Go bring some food to them. Go tell me how things are going. Tell me that my sons are safe, is what Jesse was telling David to go do. And in all this, the brothers who were contemplating the battle against what they were there, and David taking these things. And David's kind of intrigued himself behind some of this. Because we see in verse 23 down to verse 27 that David, seeing some of these, asks what is going on. What's happening with this battle? If you look at verse 23, it says, then as he talked with them, there that champion was, Goliath, standing out there of Gath. He came up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter, and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is the uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? The people answered him in this manner, saying, so shall it be done for the man who kills him. Again, we read about David and his curiosity behind this battle. He's curious as to whom Goliath is. Again, we get introduced to Goliath being a man, so, you know, an extremely tall man, extremely large man, a giant. And he's trying to understand what are the stakes, what's going on, what's this battle all about, and what is going to happen if someone were to kill this Philistine. Again, David's trying to piecing things together in all this. As we look at verse 28 down to verse 31, his brothers, when David started questioning some of this, his brothers go on and rebuke him for even asking and not fulfilling his duties of taking care of the sheep of his father, of their father. It says in verse 28, Eliab, the oldest brother, heard when he spoke to them. And Eliab's anger was aroused against David and said, why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those sheep in the wilderness? I know your role. I know your pride and the insolence of your heart. For you have come down to see the battle. David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? They turned from him toward another and said the same thing. And these people answered him as the first ones. Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for them. You know, here's Eliab. You know, what you're supposed to be doing, David, you're not supposed to be out. What are you doing here? You're supposed to be out taking care of our father's sheep. You're supposed to be doing your role. You're supposed to be doing your work on the matter. Well, I know what you're supposed to be doing. And you're not fulfilling that by being here. And David was continuing to want to know more about this. Want to know more about what Goliath had said. So he still responds, and then King Saul receives word of what David was saying. If you look at verse 32 down to verse 37, it says, David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. At first, when Saul confronted David about this, here they're having this discussion, and you know, here's what could happen. You're David, you're a young man. You're youthful. You're not experienced in this type of situation. Goliath was a man of war since his youth. You have been a shepherd. You've done these things, and first what Goliath has done. And I don't think you're going to win this battle. But notice what David says. He first of all says, well, when I fought a bear, a lion, some trying to take one of the sheep, I'd go out and I'd be able to get it. I would strike, I'd kill it. So, talks about, you know, his adversity that he faced in life with a lion or a bear or different types of things. So I was able to do this. But then David goes on and talks a little bit more as to why he was able to win a battle against a lion or a bear. He says, I've been able to do this because of God. I'm able to do this. I faced giants in my life already. I faced where I was the underdog, so to speak. But it was God who helped me fight those giants. And this Philistine that's out here challenging, I want to challenge him myself. But I know that God will be with me. And this Philistine that is defying the armies of God, they're going to lose this battle because God will be with me. So Saul, after hearing these words, let God be with you. But, you know, what Saul tries to do first is he tries to dress David as a normal soldier. In verse 38-39, it says, Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor, and he tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said, Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. Again, trying to put on these different types of armor and everything. He's not able to do that. Again, he's a smaller man. He's not the same build as some of these other types of men that would be able to do such a thing. So what does he do? Well, we read in verse 40, he took his staff in his hand. He chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. What do you think about that? Here he comes with Goliath. He comes with Goliath with a sling with stones. And what does Goliath do? Boy, mocks him. As we finish off reading a little bit, and I appreciate your patience with us as we look at reading this so far. As we look at verse 41, it says, the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. When the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. And David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all the assembly shall know that the Lord is not saved with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And so it was when the Philistine rose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in the bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. And David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of his sheath, and killed him, and cut his head off with it. And the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, and they fled. The men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell along the road to Sharon, even as far as Gath and Ekron. Then the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine, brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. When Saul and David going out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, as your soul lives, O king, I do not know. So the king said, inquire whose son this man is. And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, whose son are you, young man? So David answered, I am the son of your servant Jesse the Bethlehemite. Again, as we look at all this, kind of reading the narrative behind all this, is that Goliath mocks David. He says, am I a dog? You're coming to me with sticks. Again, thinking about the size of Goliath, thinking about how tall he was, thinking about the armor that he had, thinking about the weapons that he had, he was not an ordinary adversary. He was a giant. And this man that's coming out to challenge, after 40 days and 40 nights of him standing out there, mourning and eating, challenging Israel, here comes out David with sticks and a stone. Goliath said, well, that's who I'm going to get. This is who I'm going to get. I'm going to win this battle. But David goes on to say that he is coming in the name of God, and he will be able to conquer Goliath. And God's will be done in all this. It's not a matter of David, it's a matter of God being able to show his strength, being able to show that he is a great, almighty God of all. And in the heat of the moment, here comes Goliath charging him. Can you think about all this? Think about the size of this man. Here he is charging David. And what does David do? You know, some people say, well, they'd probably run. But David, what does David do? He turns, he puts a stone in his sling, and he starts charging as well. And he hits Goliath with a stone sunk into his head, and he died. David takes his head and being able to do this here. The Philistines are bragging about all this, and they see that their champions, and they flee from the situation. And it was David, by the will of God, able to conquer this giant. So what we want to look at, I know we did all that reading, and I appreciate you being patient with me. I want to look about, what about our giants? Because we all have giants that we have faced. Again, imagine standing against a 12-foot tall man. Would you have some sort of fear? Would you be intimidated? Would you have the confidence in winning the battle against someone like this? We may not face a literal giant as in the stature of Goliath, but we do have giants in our life that we do face and in our service to God. What I want to consider, first of all, our first giant is Satan. You know, Satan goes by different names. And if you think about it with me, if you look over in the New Testament, we're done looking here in 1 Samuel for now, but if you go into the New Testament and look at a few verses with me, in John chapter 8, verse 44, first of all. John chapter 8, verse 44. Satan goes by some different names in the Bible. And John chapter 8, verse 44. Here's what Jesus has to say. Jesus said, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." Again, mentioning about Satan being a giant. He's a father of lies. Mentioned there in John chapter 8, verse 44. That's a pretty tall obstacle. He's also known as the devil. We read there in John 8, verse 44 about this. But also in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. The devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Again, we read about how we get some pictures, some descriptions of this. Again, not only is he, but a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And then also, again, mentioned as being Satan. Over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. It says, "The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, lying wonders." And the father of lies, using the described as being a roaring lion, described as being a lawless one. What Satan does is he uses the world, uses the lust of it, to entice one to turn to the world and either turn away from God or never obey God. He uses the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, as we read in 1 John 2, verse 15 down to verse 6. He uses those things because the world has a large influence. Satan knows the power of his tool. Again, creating a large giant in our pain. But as we look at the story of David, David facing a literal giant, he understood that if he had God on his side, he would win the battle. We face this first giant. Notice with me how we're able to fight this giant, how we're able to handle this giant. In James chapter 4, verse 7 down to verse 10. Notice with me there, James chapter 4, verse 7 down to verse 10. James chapter 4, verse 7 down to verse 10. It says, Therefore submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to joy, or your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Here's how we handle this giant: by drawing closer to God. Drawing near to him, and he will draw near. Resisting the devil, and he will flee from you. We purify our hearts. We cleanse ourselves from our sins. We humble ourselves. That's how we are able to handle this first giant that we face in our life. Satan uses all measures to try to get us to turn from him, to turn from God and turn to him. But if we will draw near to God, we will resist his way, resist the ways of the devil, resist the ways of the Father, resist the ways of Satan, and turn to God and obey him, we can overcome. Satan uses a powerful tool and tries to get us to commit sin in our life, and that is our second giant that we face. Again, we have all faced this giant. In Romans 3, verse 23, Paul writes, he says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Something that we've all faced in this life is sin. Some of us have overcome it. Some of us have turned from sin and turned to God. Some of us have not yet done that. They're here tonight. But as we think about this, what we know is that sin separates us from God. If you go back to Isaiah 59, verse 2. I know we can look at many different verses. I just want to look at Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 2. He says, "But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear you." Our iniquities, our lawlessness, our lawless deeds, our works of unrighteousness separate us from God. Sometimes based on our pride and selfishness, that we can continue to remain separated from God. Pride leads us to destruction. Sin, you know, when we decide, I'm enticed by, I've been studying and having our third class from the book of James so far. You look at the first chapter, James points out, you know, what sin does and kind of the full effect of sin. Sin doesn't begin with sin. It begins with the temptation. Then we're enticed by the temptation. When we give in to that temptation, through our enticement, we see that it gives birth to sin. Then sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. And we pursue it. We pursue our life. We pursue that type of life. Based upon pride. Based upon selfishness. But how do we handle this, giant? Again, not leaving us high and dry. We can handle this giant by showing works benefiting of repentance and submitting to God. Over in Acts chapter 2, that's what Peter spoke on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, and verse 37 down to verse 41. Acts chapter 2, verse 37 down to verse 41. Look what Peter says here. We read in Acts chapter 2, verse 37 down to verse 41, when Peter hears the words that the people were cut to the heart, at 3 and verse 37. They heard this. They were cut to the heart and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do to be saved?" And Peter said to them, "Repent. Turn from sin. Turn from sin and submit to God." He says in verse 38, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized for the remission of your sins. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." We get down to verse 41. It says, "Those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." Again, we see how we're able to handle the giant of sin. But one more I want to talk about tonight. Death. Giant number three is death. One day we will all face death. Whether our physical body no longer is in existence, or if the Lord returns, our physical body will no longer be in existence. And this giant can be hard to deal with. So read in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. It says, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. Knowing what we will face after death, the thought of death can create all sorts of anxieties. I've seen it with some of my family dealing with the thought, just thinking about death and seeing what that can create. Sometimes it also creates an attitude of doing whatever one wants when they want. I want to enjoy life to the fullest. Having an attitude of not caring. What we can look at in Scripture of being able to try to handle this giant is to prepare ourselves now. Being prepared to meet our God." Over in the book of Amos. In Amos chapter 4, going back to the Old Testament. Amos chapter 4. And notice with me verse 12. Amos chapter 4 and verse 12. Amos chapter 4, verse 12. "Therefore, thus will I do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you." Notice here what says next. "Prepare to meet your God, O Israel." Some people believe that we can kind of do whatever we want because we're all going to die, so we can just... No, God has shown us through His Word that we need to prepare. Not just using this verse, but we can look at what Jesus said. There's coming a time where you need to prepare. You need to prepare now. Because after this life, that's the end of it. You cannot prepare after that. But we can be able to handle this giant by being prepared to meet our God. What we know is that we can be able to face the giants of this life and we can be able to handle them. And I hope as we look at each of these three giants tonight and looking at what David understood that he was able to handle the giant, the physical giant Goliath, was able to know that God was going to take care of him. So we look at each of the giants that we face, we didn't just leave ourselves high and dry. The Bible has shown us how we can be able to handle each of these things. We can know that the giants that we face in this life, we can handle them, we can overcome them in our life. Notice with me, and I want to close here with 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear." Each of these giants that we face, there's temptation behind it. The way that Satan tries to entice us with sin, looking at the idea of sin, looking at death and how it can create those anxieties in our life to say, well, we don't need to serve God, we're going to die one day, so we're just going to live life however we want to live. No, we see that in each of these things, God has shown us a way that we can be able to handle it. Just like what Paul was reminding those here, that we can be able to face the temptations in our life, whether it's sin, whatever it may be. God has provided a way of escape that we can be able to handle it. Each of the things that we face in this life, I know each of us have had different experiences. We've all faced different things in our life. But know that we can be able to handle. God has put it in the things that we're facing in this life, even though it might seem that it is impossible to handle, that this giant is looming over us. Know that we are in a position that we can still handle. God has provided a way to escape, but we've got to choose that way. That's where it comes in. We've got to choose the way of escape. We've got to submit to God, submit to His ways. And we can assist anyone answering the invitation call tonight. Maybe you're facing the giant of sin in your life. Maybe we can help you. Maybe we can pray for you. If you need to make your life right with God tonight, we want to extend the invitation to you tonight to do so, to make your life right with Him. If we can help you, pray for you, encourage you, whatever the case may be, if you're facing some sort of giant in your life and we can help you tonight in answering the call, let me know how we can assist you, how we can help you. Brother George selected song number 283 is our invitation song. And if you're subject to the invitation, let me know how we can assist you, how we can help you tonight. Have a seat on the front. You can do it now while together, while we stand and while we sing.